Sometimes you want to laugh. For all the other times, there's this.
Connect to the Wi-Fi from next door. Because you know it's time for the Ash Kip and Lutzy podcast.
106.9.
Monday morning.
Hey-o.
13 24 10 is our number to request a song. First song of the week. You get to set the tone.
He survived, boys.
Yes, Ange, Kipper. Thank you.
Survived what?
What happened? I have my bucks on the way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Where'd you go?
Over to Stratty.
Is it good?
Yeah, it was excellent, actually. It was, the weather was perfect. I thought it was going to rain all weekend, but then Saturday was just, it was great. Yesterday was unreal.
Where did you stay?
We stayed at a an apartment about 2Ks from the Point Lookout, you know, the pub.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
A couple of Ks down the road from there. So
that would have been an interesting stumble home yesterday morning.
Well, actually, we've got...
The pub?
They do a shuttle bus.
Oh.
They do a you went to the pub.
Yeah, at the end of the night. And you just go, we're staying like 2 hours, 2Ks down. Everyone just loads into the bus and they take you and then they come back and pick up the next group. It's brilliant.
Oh, wow.
And I've got a story about the shuttle bus later on in the show today.
Do you know they've got I once caught it, like you can catch the barge over.
Yeah.
Barge is quite expensive, to be honest with you. But if you catch the ferry over or the taxi service or something they call it. I once took...
Car or just by yourself?
No car. You just go over. But it takes no time at all to get over to Dunwich.
Yeah.
And then you catch a bus from there. I once took myself, Levi, Sid, Archie and Sonny Bill over from Cleveland or wherever the bloody hell it is to Dunwich. Bus waiting, hopped on the bus with Sonny Bill. Dogs are allowed there. Straight to Point Lookout. The whole thing cost me less than $20.
What? Serious?
Yeah.
That's unreal.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I don't know why we don't, I don't know. Every time I go to Stradio, I go, why don't I hear more often?
Yeah, I know.
We're there in May for the traffic.
Yeah, we're there for the salute, you're right.
It's awful over there.
Yeah, it's a terrible place. Why would you go?
About it.
You can't believe the water change. As you come back on the barge, like you just see the water go from crystal clear to brown. And
well,
welcome back.
Welcome to Brisbane. I see we've got Bill McDonald in air. Cyclone Debbie is scheduled to hit up north. The last report I heard was about 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, which coincides with a high tide and a big moon. So it's that's going to cause extra havoc when it hits. We'll get into that after 6:30. Actually, I should play some audio. My old man was on the news last night.
I saw it.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was going to be on.
Yeah.
And there was my old man and his wife, Elise.
I realise, it's weird, how long have I known you? Like 10 plus years.
Yeah.
I just saw your dad for the first time. And I was like, oh, that's what Bill looks like. I've heard about him so many times.
I don't think I've ever seen him really either.
Yeah.
Haven't you ever met my old man?
I don't think so.
Well, he doesn't come down much.
Did he come down for your movie? I might have met him then.
Oh, geez, I don't.
I honestly can't remember ever meeting him, though.
Yeah. You can see it. You can see Luke and Ash in Bill in the dad.
Yeah, and he got emotional, too. And it was so weird to see it because my old man does not get, he's a hard nut. An angry hard nut would be.
I didn't see the story. I only saw the photo.
Did he get emotional? They got him back. Luke said that, because Luke was there, he said that they brought it because the old man was there when Yasi hit
in his house, whenever that was.
And that was an horrendous time for Dad because they had just finished, Dad and Elise had just finished renovating this house. They bought this house and he put everything into it. And literally, I think it was only 1 or 2 weeks after they'd finished.
Yeah.
And my old man is a perfectionist. Absolute perfectionist. So I never actually got to see the house, like when it was done, but I can just imagine because I know what Dad's like that there wouldn't have been one thing out of place.
Yeah.
And then it was like a week or two later, and the cyclone came through and leveled the joint, leveled it, and it was everything that he'd worked for. So he was completely shattered. And what they did on the news last night was they got them to revisit. They brought out the photos of the. Of when Yasi hit, and it just brought up all those memories for Dad.
I think Elise was saying they were both in the toilet.
they were both just sitting
in the toilet as the whole place knocked down.
They've got a shed, and the shed, there's one side of it that's all concrete, and all the sides of the toilet are concrete, and that was the most stable thing. So the two of them bunkered down into the shed for the entire cyclone. And Elise she's as tough as anything, and she's a real adventurer. Like, she once windsurfed around Tasmania.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Know, and she's done thousands of skydives, so she's seen it all. You think of a mountain other than Everest, and Elise has climbed it. She's a real, adventurer, and she said it was one of the most terrifying things that she's been through. So they relived all of that. And the old man cried.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you big skirt. I honestly couldn't believe it. And of course, that's the bit they use on the news. Luke rang me afterwards and said, you're not going to believe it. The old man, first of all, he agreed to do an interview.
Yeah.
He goes, and then he cried.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
It's a bit of fun. Lutzy, at swimming today, someone was telling me that in New York over the weekend, did you see this?
No.
A guy broke the world record for a half marathon running in a suit. Like, not the whole, like, that's a thing. He broke the suit running half marathon world record.
Right.
If that makes sense.
So, he's wearing normal shoes.
Yes.
Presumably.
Yeah, he's wearing normal shoes.
Like ASICs, whatever.
But he was wearing a $400, like full suit. Tie.
Wow.
The whole thing.
Yeah, the tyre. Even that tyre adds a big element, having that up around your neck.
Restricting your breathing.
Uh-huh.
1 hour 11.
Oh, my goodness.
That's moving.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is moving.
That's quicker than I can do it in skins. I know that much.
Exactly. I reckon that's quicker than you could drive it in a car in New York.
What? Yeah, you're right.
21K.
21Ks in 1 hour 11.
Yeah, so that was something that caught my eye.
That's incredible.
The other news in sport that I was like, oh, man, Kate Campbell. Who was, remember in Rio last year, Kate Campbell was, the Campbell sisters were favoured to win the gold. They were like on, everybody was talking about them in the,
lead
up to Rio.
Great girls, actually.
And then it just didn't happen for them. And they, everyone said, oh, they choked.
Because they were world number one and two.
Yeah, were they?
Kate, I think, was the world record holder, but it's just the
pressure was on.
Poor thing. It was just one bad, one swim where things didn't go away.
Yeah, well, Kate,
she's a great chick.
She was the short price favourite to take home the medal, but she, like, she came out over the weekend. She said she's been analysing it, and she reckons, and I think this is so honest of her, although I do feel sorry for the person who's responsible. She reckons the reason that it happened and, like, the weight of expectation was so great that she got a text message just before she raced. She's checked her phone, and she got a text message from a friend. It doesn't say who the friend is, but the friend's text message was something as simple as, go, Kate, all the best. I've hired out the boardroom for everybody to watch you.
Right.
And she says, Kate says, no, I'm so excited to watch you race. I've booked out a boardroom in the office so we can all watch you. And Kate reckons from that moment on, she felt nervous. She felt anxious. And the weight of expectation just completely drained her. She said, I'm quoting her now, I remember thinking this was bigger than just me. I was responsible for other people. I have to do this for other people as well. And she said that I don't blame the friend, as they are genuinely there to support me. They don't even know that this message is what triggered the meltdown to come.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you imagine if you were the person?
Yeah.
She hasn't even spoken to the person. The person sitting down reading the story going, oh, I sent her a message. Oh. And that's what I hate about text messages.
Yeah.
Because
you can't, there's no emotion in them, is there? You can't see how it's construed.
And you don't know what emphasis people are going to put on certain words in your text message. I hate text messages. I hate having conversations on with text messages because I just think to myself, I mean to, this is what I'm trying to say in this voice, but there's sometimes that you will read text messages that I've sent you, Lutzy, and you emphasise other words.
Yes.
And I go,
yes.
Oh, that's a completely different meaning. I didn't mean it like that at all.
And you can't tell either the way that person is feeling at the time, because I reckon if that person had called Kate, they might have heard that she was stressed and all that and gone, you know what, I'm not going to, this is not the time.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm just going to leave it.
Yep.
And just go, hey, all the best. I'll let you go.
Yep.
But instead you say things.
Yesterday, I sent you one, Ash, you could have construed the wrong way. I think I said something like, your stepmom's kind of cute.
Oh, Lutzy said.
And that could have been construed.
Yes.
I guess that was
how else can you construe it?
I mean,
how can you construe it the right way?
He doesn't know what
words
I was emphasising.
It wasn't.
What words were you emphasising?
He actually and stepmum.
Lutzy actually sent me a message going, your new mum is kind of hot.
Oh, hot. Sorry. Hot could have meant temperature. You know, like, it could have meant anything. Yeah, that's the point we're making. Yeah. I didn't mean that. Ash, Kip and
Lutzy. Reading this morning, Kip, that thousands of people have been ordered to flee ahead of Tropical Cyclone Debbie, but there's plenty of people that are just refusing to leave.
Right.
Really?
And Bill McDonald's in air with Channel 7 this morning and joins us from up at North. Hey, Bill.
G'day, guys. How are things?
Good, mate. How many journalists are up there at the moment, Bill? I feel like everybody's leaving except journos are just flying up there en masse.
Yeah, there's quite a few up here. The hotels and some of the pubs are doing a roaring trade. I can tell you that much. After dinner last night, we got about 12 people ourselves just along the region. There's a wide stretch of the coastline up here that's in that impact zone. So we've got a lot of people up here just ourselves. So when you take into account, there's lots of other organisations as well. Yeah, there's to be quite an influx for the economy for the region.
Yeah, it looks still last night, though, on the news. It looked like sort of eerie.
Yeah, well, I'm in the main street of there at the moment, and there's no great wind to speak of at all. It's still 300 k's off the coast, on top of the Category 2 cyclone. So they're expecting later this afternoon things will change here. So it's actually quite a nice day here. It's one of those eerie things, I suppose, they talk about the calm before. Certainly seems the case here. There's quite a bit of activity in the main drag because here they expect that with the storm surge, depending on the time it hits, the vertical will rise up and it pretty much floods down the main drag. So there's a lot of youth and people getting in here today to try and lift up stuff that's in the shops. I know Harvey Norman last night, they had people in there helping them lift TVs and all that sort of stuff. There's taping of windows going on. So, but yeah, you walk out in the street here and there are people walking their dogs and having a jog. It's almost like nothing's happened.
Huh. And then just getting back to that point that I made at the intro, Bill, there, saying that people are refusing to leave despite the fact that they're saying it could be a Category 4 cyclone. Category 5 is the worst, but Category 4 is up to 280 kilometres an hour. So are people not heeding the warnings?
Some people are deciding they want to stay, but most of them in the coastal areas, as you know, actually, the coastal areas have really copped the buffeting. Most people from there have been forced to evacuate. There's been a couple of we heard last night from the assistant commissioner up here that didn't want to go, and so if people don't want to go, they've been asked to stay put, don't move, and don't try and move later and ask for help because it just won't be coming.
Yep.
The emergency services aren't going to risk their lives after they've told people to get out. So there are a few people that they're not blasé, but they've seen it before, they've lived through a lot of cyclones, and they just figure, well, look, you know, we know what we're doing. We're going to stay here and look after the house and just ride it out. But most people, I have to say, just through talking around the time that we've been here, they acknowledge that it could be a big system. I mean, they're the most powerful storms on earth, cyclones or whatever you call them, typhoons or hurricanes, as they call them overseas. So people acknowledge that. And they know, particularly with this one, depending on the time it hits, because there's a storm surge that comes with it, and there's a high tide up here tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Some are saying that if it hits right on that high tide, it could be a 6-metre storm surge, which would really be devastating for those coastal communities.
And what are you expecting? When are you expecting it, Bill? Like around this time tomorrow? Or?
Yeah, around this time. They're talking 6 a.m.-ish. It flowed a little bit in its track southwest towards the coastline, so they're still saying air is probably like your ground zero, if you like, but there's like a 50k zone that these things can move either way. But that's the latest tracking at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. So they're expecting by this afternoon or around our news time, 6 p.m. tonight, that there'll be a noticeable change in wind conditions as it gets closer. So it'll be a busy 24 hours for everybody up here. Yeah.
My brother was telling me that the cyclones like this, like the fact that it's still like up in Cairns and your neck of the woods over the weekend, you said it's actually quite a nice day there, Bill, is actually the worst thing for a cyclone because it feeds off the humidity and the water temperature. And the water temperature up there at the moment is about 30 degrees.
Really?
Which is almost like a bath, and that's just filling it up. It's just fueling. It's just fueling. So if there was
that's exactly what it is. It just fuels off that water, and if it sits out there, the longer it sits out there, the more steam it gathers up, and then when it does start to move towards the coast, it's got a real head of steam going for it. And that's why normally when it hits that coastline then and those communities right on the coastline, as we saw with Yazzie 6 years ago, when it hit Tully and Tully Heads, it absolutely pushed a storm surge. It pushed about a metre of sand just straight up the beach and through properties.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's where they really get hammered. And there's a place here called Alva Beach right down on the front. And I know they've been saying around here, and the police said yesterday that place, if it keeps coming and it gets to Category 4, that place will just get wiped off the map.
Oh, yeah. No.
Well, stay safe tonight and tomorrow, Bill. We'll watch you on Channel 7.
Look for some good signs to put on Channel 7, Bill. I remember ahead of Yasi in 2011, there was a sign up there, Kiss My Yasi.
Yes.
And with with Debbie, there's got to be they've got to have some fun with Debbie.
Debbie.
So keep an eye out
Debbie
for that. There you go.
Debbie does damage.
There you go.
There's a place down the road. We had to go back to dinner there last night, the Burdekin Hotel. He had a sign out saying, Category 5, Debbie on the way. A cyclone that'll blow your mind. Come in, total the meal.
Get on your Bill. Stay safe, mate.
See you, mate.
Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy. Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
So the Gold Logie nominees for this year...
Go on, give them to me.
Sarah Harris.
Sarah Harris.
Channel 10. Thought she was a silver nom.
No, I think she's in the paper.
The big one.
I think I just...
No, you're right. She's a silver.
Thank you, Ange.
There you go. So she's silver.
Well, then who's the goal? Sorry, I'm reading the wrong story. Well, who
Peter Hellyer. What's his name?
Waleed.
Wycliffe Pollard.
Wycliffe, no. Waleed Alley,
I can never say his name.
All the guys from the project, is it?
No, Carrie Bickmore missed out.
Oh, okay.
Which I was bummed about. I love Carrie.
So who is it? So, yeah.
You'll get over it.
And there was a couple of others, including Grant Denyer.
I'm really confused here because the paper says Harris is up against Amantha Kelly, Carrie Bickmore, Waleed Ali, and Grant Denyer.
Yeah.
So is Grant Denyer only nominated for a silver?
Yeah, I'm confused now too.
Where's I don't understand.
Gold ones?
It's interesting that there's a silver and a gold as well. So, like, well,
what's the silver for?
I don't know.
And isn't
I feel
the
like
silver
should just be one? Shouldn't it?
Wouldn't the silver Logie be the person who comes second in the running for the gold?
The gold?
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
I can't remember now what the go is with it.
Oh, here we go.
Something different.
I've got all the Gold Logie noms here. So Grant Denyer, Jessica Mraz, Peter Hallier, Roger Corser.
Oh, now who's Roger Corser?
Doctor, he was in Channel 9 and the ABC. He was also on The Doctor.
Ooh.
Samuel Johnson from Molly.
Yeah.
And that guy.
Wally.
I can never say his name.
And Wycliffe Shaw. Yes.
So Mraz the only chick.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. So Denyer's then up for a gold and a silver. What's the silver for?
I think
the silver is the best actor.
Well, how can Denyer and Sarah? It's silver can't be for best actor because Sarah Harris and Grant Denyer
is
are not actors.
Or one for most popular presenter, I think. That sounds like something they'd all be up for.
Is that a
silver?
That's right. There's more than one silver, I think. Isn't there? I think they have a few silvers.
I think everyone wins a silver.
Like, yeah, they have like
everyone else
and
wins
the actors,
a silver.
Yeah, and then the gold's just a round
the
robin.
Gold's the best
of the best.
On the ground.
Now, when we go to where we'll have all this sorted out, when we go to where we'll have everything sorted out, and we'll have
this will never make the radio.
This is a run through.
Shows how much we all care about the ladies.
That's right. Everyone else wins a silver, and the gold's the gong.
What about Denyer? He just got away with his life over the weekend, though.
So he's in an accident.
Yep, and a rally race. So it's one of those ones where he's got his navigator next door to him going, left, 40%, right,
yeah,
all that sort of stuff. And they've crashed. And from what I believe, Ash, he's the guy next to him went to the hospital with a broken leg and Denyer got flown out just as a precautionary thing with some sort of back injury.
They were driving a Lotus, which I don't know what that is, but it sounds expensive and fast.
Yeah, Spider.
Proper sports car. I think it was a different type of Lotus. Yeah.
And if you see the picture, it is totaled. The car is just done.
Yeah.
The driver, the co-driver or whatever, Lutzy, he had to be cut out. He got a broken leg. And Denyer, he walked away with a broken finger.
Yeah, some slight back pain or something or other.
Lower back bruising,
He's pretty much fine. But, you know, you see those rallies where they just fly over the... over a rise and yeah. just think, oh my God, if you get that one bit wrong.
Mm.
Well, that's what got Peter Brock.
He was coming second. He's Daniel's good. They were coming second in the rally. This was like day two of some big rally.
And you know, it wasn't his Lotus. So could you imagine, Lutzy, like you going back to Clint at Audi going,
yes.
Now, a little bit of a problem.
What's your policy?
On the S3 there.
I just went on a bit of a rally on the weekend.
Do you reckon that...
Use the TT.
Yes. Do you reckon that'll polish out? Ash,
Kip and Lutzy. I feel like I've left Jodie just with a ticking time bomb this morning because she was... You know what she did last night? She went to... What's the show in town at the moment? My Fair Lady?
Oh, I want to see that. Mum's been raving about My Fair Lady.
Yeah, Jodie went to that.
Good?
She said it was excellent.
Mm. Yeah.
Said it was excellent. Went there with her mum and her nana last night. So, yeah, no, she said it was really good. Yeah. She said I would have hated it, but she said the costumes and the dance and whatever, she said it was excellent.
Yeah.
Really good. But anyway, so I had the kids... And I've got them all in, got Archie in bed last night, and we're, for some reason, two of my kids have got poems on today. They've got to present poems at school.
Which two kids?
Sid and Archie.
Archie?
Yeah.
Can Archie do a poem?
Apparently.
Right.
Apparently.
So, have you got it? What is it?
Well, Sid's doing one. His is a really good one. It's like.
Can Jodie send you Archie's?
An Anzac. No, I know it. He had to do it for me last night, but right. I've completely stuffed it up because I wasn't in the mood.
You should have recorded it.
Poems. No, I shouldn't have because he's... here's the story, okay? So Sid got up and did his, which is an excellent poem.
Anzac
is it like
story,
a, oh, it's called... It's an Anzac... It's a poem that he's presented at Anzac Day ceremonies, and it's called something like Sir...
Oh, so he hasn't written the poem.
No, he hasn't. No. They're just reciting poems.
Okay, sorry.
And yep. Sid's reciting this poem, Sir, which was, I was like, that's an awesome poem. It was really good.
They're allowed to have notes in front of them?
No, they got to learn it.
Learn it, okay.
Wow.
And then Archie's doing Old King Cole.
It was a merry old soul.
You know, that's a merry old soul.
That's it. Yeah. Old King Cole is a merry old soul.
A merry old soul is he.
How do I even know that?
Yeah.
And he's done that, and as soon as he said it, I went, Old King Cole has a hairy ass. And he thinks it's the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And that's all that he says now. Honestly...
Well, he's going to go to school today.
And then as soon as you do it, it's like trying to put the... Yeah. Put it back into the
you're
bottle.
Fuel on
going,
a fire.
No, that's not funny, Archie. Yeah, but it is funny.
It is funny because you reacted to it.
And I thought I was hilarious.
Yes.
Sid laughed. Yeah. Everybody laughed. Yeah. Archie thought it was hilarious.
Yes.
And the worst thing, how old's James?
He's 4.
Ever heard him swear?
He nearly did yesterday.
Yeah.
My computer's playing up. It's already got a crack through it from Luke throwing a bottle at it last year. Now the mouse icon's acting independent to what I want it to do.
Oh.
And I'm trying to edit something and it's not working. I'm like, oh, you piece of... And I said it. And he's next to me. He goes, ha, you piece of... And I don't you... I nearly made him cry because there's one thing I'm more worried about than him saying it is Sarah knowing that I told him to do it.
Yes.
So
yeah.
It levels me. And it's so hypocritical that I hate it when kids swear. Like I just don't allow it.
Mm.
I go, no way. I'm not proud of the fact that I swear so much, but I do.
Yeah.
And when he said that and was repeating it, it just makes you feel like such a bad parent.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll say it at school?
Oh, I don't know. It's 50-50.
Old King Cole has a hairy...
It's 50-50.
Oh, God, I hope he says it.
And then I've just said, listen, look, I didn't say it.
Yeah.
Mum taught you that.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy. So my bucks over the weekend over at Stratty.
Yep.
Excellent weekend, perfect weather and everything. Like, it was hammering down Friday night. We were watching the Broncos.
Did you go over Friday?
We did. Friday afternoon.
Yep.
And I thought, oh, here we go. We're going to be stuck inside. But then come Saturday morning, it was
beautiful.
Down swimming at Sillet Beach.
Anyone sort of go a bit too far? It's like Damo, anyone like that?
No, Damo wasn't there.
Damo?
He wasn't there. Your mate. And but we did have we went to the pub both nights, you know, the Stratty Island Hotel.
That's the best.
Isn't it such a good spot?
I can't think of a better location.
Yeah. So it was so busy though. We had to have dinner in the TAB. Like we were sitting around the betting slips, eating our steaks. but there was, and then we get the shuttle bus home. Which was a brilliant little service. You know, end of the night, they wrap it all up and they send you home in the shuttle bus. And so the first night, we headed back, and a couple of the single blokes that were in the group became obsessed with one of the bar. There was one barmaid who was pretty hot.
Oh gosh, she must cop it.
Right, and so. Yeah. And so they're obsessed with her, talking about the whole shuttle bus home, this and that. Oh, she's Alaskan. All this. Oh,
she's Alaskan?
Yeah, she's
really?
Alaskan.
Wow.
You know, and to the point that...
There's an Alaskan up on Stradbroke Island.
To the point that when
she's worth talking to. I'm actually interested to talk to. How does an Alaskan end up at Point Lookout?
Yeah. Ugh. Well, and then, you know... And we got
she
talking.
Sounds wonderful.
And one of the blokes thought he'd impress her. I said, oh, I've been to Alaska. I went trout fishing at blah, blah, blah. And then she has come back with... What type of trout you're hunting? And he's just she just owned him in that mid. He's there going, the ones that swim. I don't know. She's going, yeah, you're looking for the copperheads, or she just, she knew everything. So we're on the shuttle bus home. Everyone's talking about. Look her up on Facebook. Blah blah blah.
Yeah. Did you look her up on Facebook?
No, someone did. Yeah. Someone in the back. And then the next night, same thing happens. We're heading home. And the conversation switches to this barmaid, and everyone's obsessed in the back, chatting away. And someone says, "Oh, yeah, I've got her on Facebook. Oh, she's got a boyfriend. He looks, he must be a nice bloke because he's ugly as buggery." They're all laying into this poor fella, and it says, "Oh, it says that he lives on the island." At this stage, I'm riding up the front in the passenger seat.
Yeah,
and I said to the driver, I said. It's not you, is it, mate?
Oh, don't tell me.
He said, yep.
Oh, no.
Oh, you're kidding.
Stop it.
It was...
What, had you been death riding him saying she...
Same bloke, both nights in a row.
And he said nothing?
He said nothing.
This is a great story. This is a great story.
No. So everyone's going, and then, see, there's silence in the back where everyone's thinking, what have I said about this guy? And what have I said about her?
What a top bloke. And so he said nothing the first
nothing
night?
Nothing at all. Just a polite bloke, just dropped us home,
oh
see your fellas.
God.
Have a night. And so I said to him, has this happened to you a bit? And he said, this is my life, actually, is dropping people back while they talk about my girlfriend and how much they love her and how much I must be a douche.
Oh, my. And, no, he must be a great guy.
Well, then, he must be
a great guy.
Everyone
says he's batting overs.
And then the kicker, he goes, by the way, my sister Lauren's at Amber's hen's night tonight.
No.
No, bull. And I'm like, are you serious?
So, what?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he have mentioned this earlier?
Don't you know, he's keeping K5, mate, because he's just listening in, and he's got the old. He can just hold it, and he's just listening in, going, "Keep going, for boys, keep going."
He had all the bullets.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. What was the mood like in the bus after he dropped that bombshell?
He was a little frosty.
Did anyone apologise?
Yeah, they did.
It was Alaskan frosty. Yeah.
Was anyone saying, like, I would have been saying, Lutzi, I can't believe what you said about him last night.
Everyone's deflecting, going,
That's awesome. Yeah. It's awesome.
Ash, Kip and Lutzi.
I've got to give a quick shout out as well. I mentioned I was at Stratty over the weekend for my bucks. There was a young bloke performing at the bar. He was doing Ed Sheeran songs and stuff. 16 years old. His name's Kyle Bryant, and he was brilliant. He was so good.
Was he looping and stuff? Or just...
Yeah.
Oh, he was looping.
Yeah, he was doing everything. He was really good. And and then at the end of the night, security have to come and walk him out because he's not allowed to have a beer because he's 16. So
Just like, sounds like old Martin Garrix.
Yeah, in Vegas,
get out of the pub.
But he was excellent. Keep an eye out for him. If my mate doesn't show up at the wedding, I might be giving him a buzz.
Well, it's not even the silliest idea.
No.
When are you going to find out about that?
About Russ, I think hopefully this week, because we're less than 2 weeks away.
Hey.
And there's a chance he's going to be on The Voice and not be able to play, so I don't know.
How's this? In 2 weeks' time, you're a married man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty weird. I got used to you, Ben. Like, I'm the only married guy in the room, except for when Mitch comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty weird.
Yeah.
No second doubts, nothing like that.
No, all good.
If he had, he was going to say it now.
Yes.
Yeah,
Come
I'm
clean.
Not feeling it, hey.
I'll just hook it. Well, I'll talk about it after 8.
Ash, Kip and Lutzi.
13-24-10, by the way, if ever you want to be involved in the show, don't need a special reason to call in. Rebecca out of Redland.
Yeah.
Yeah, turn your radio down there, Rebecca, but you heard Kip talking about that 16-year-old kid playing at Point Lookout.
His name's Kyle Bryant, and he goes to school with my kid.
Yeah.
And they've got this little band together, and they're so cute. But they'd probably be nothing like you, Ash, when you had your instruments that, you know, when you get kids and they have these instruments and they're no good at it?
Yes.
They're not like that. They come in the house and they've got this jam room and it's insane. It's total legendary.
It'd be like having Silverchair just in your house back when they were kids.
Funny you say that. My 9-year-old son actually drums the hell out of his big brother. It's insane.
Wow, that's cool.
So, every night you come home and they're jamming. It's like 3 hours. It's well worth a watch.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's cool that you've got that right in the lounge.
Maybe video. Send it into us.
Yeah.
Check it out. Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
Be a bit of fun after the show today because all of our partners are coming in.
Yeah.
They're recording a question time. Is it too late to ask a question? You can go to the Ash, Kip and Lutzy Facebook page. And we've got my wife Jodie coming in and Kip's wife-to-be Amber and Lutzy's girlfriend Jess coming in. So they're going to be asked questions about, whatever, us.
Yeah.
But we're also going to be recording a partner's top five. Love duets all time.
Ooh, we haven't prepared that. Yeah. Well, it has to be a love song, does it? So it's got to be a love duet.
Yeah, but we don't pick it. Have we got the top five love duets? Has anyone worked that out yet, what they are?
How's that even? Is that even a chart?
I think I've picked mine.
How?
Well, just Jess suggested one.
No, but you can't suggest it.
You're going to want one.
It's got to be... That
you're going to want it.
You can't come in and say, here's what I want to sing. That's not how it works.
Who does pick them?
Mitch or Sam, they've got to find the top five love duets of all time.
Oh, is it actually a list?
I don't know if that's a list, though. I don't know if that's something...
A list. They'll find a list out of it.
There's
a couple of different options. There's the biggest and best love duets. There's a list of cheesy love duets. And then there's the list of worst duets of all time. So
I'm
going to figure out which one of you fits in which category. And
as soon as I say this, Ash will want it.
What?
Summer loving had me a blast.
No, I don't want that.
That'd be good.
Yeah, I want it.
No.
I thought you liked Greece.
Oh, I do, but I can't. That's out of my range. I've got a very...
What's in your range?
Like a monk humming? Ash,
Kip and Lutzy. Big news of the day is the cyclone Debbie, which is expected to hit far north Queensland sometime tomorrow morning. We had Bill McDonald from Channel 7 on the show earlier. I think they've got... there's more journalists up there now than there are residents in far north Queensland.
Yeah, Bill was saying from 7, I think there's 12 of them. They're basically at every country town along the coast waiting for it if that's where it hits.
My brother's up there with Channel 9. They've got plenty of representation up there as well.
Yeah.
And last night they actually had my old man on the news who lives at Mission Beach. Now, my old man and his wife Elise... They lost their house in Cyclone Yasi, which was the biggest cyclone. That was a Category 5 cyclone that ripped through there in 2011, completely destroyed their house.
Yeah.
So Phil Wilmington went out there with my brother yesterday to my old man's house. And my dad, I was honestly, I didn't know that he was doing the interview and I was just watching it. I was just happened to be watching Nine News last night.
Yeah.
And I went, there's Dad, which was like the biggest spin out to see Dad. That I couldn't believe that he actually agreed to do an interview, Lutzy, but then... On top of that, I couldn't believe that he got really emotional. And he cried on the news.
I think we've got the audio.
That's Phil Wilmington.
I think we've got
that out. Does
he?
Yeah.
Oh,
what was that moment like?
He still can't talk about it.
Very emotional. Still emotional.
We spent 4 hours in the dunny. We had turns of sitting on the toilet or sitting in the deck chair.
The whole place is just a mess.
See, Elise came in and saved him.
Yeah.
She came in and saved him. Because I should have set that up. They were going through the photos of Yasi.
Yeah, right.
Mm. I said earlier.
That's Wilmington. He pulls the heartstrings. Mm. It's what he does.
Yeah. Well, I feel like he took advantage of Dad.
Your dad's a bit of a skirt, by the way, doing this, isn't
what's
he?
What's that?
Bit of a skirt, yo, man. Have you given it to him?
I did. Exactly what I called him.
Skirt.
Called him a big skirt.
Big
I said, you cried on the television.
Yeah.
You're a big skirt.
What did he say?
Hey, he said, don't play it on the radio. Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
Hey, his mouth may move before he thinks. Sometimes it works, sometimes it stinks. Jibba jabba, jibba jabba, rinky dink dink. It's Lutzy's tedious link.
Whoops.
Toxic is a song by Muramasa and ASAP Rocky. Muramasa is actually a guy called Alex Crossan, a British DJ, electronic music producer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist from Guernsey in the Channel Islands. His stage name is taken from Japanese swordsmith Muramasa Sengo. Sengo lived around the 15th century and was renowned as the most skillful swordsman, but also a lunatic. He was violent and an ill-balanced mind verging on madness. Madness are an English ska band from London who formed back in 1976 and had many hits, including It Must Be Love and Our House. Our House was also an Australian television series, which aired on Channel 9 until 2001. 20 to 1 was also a Channel 9 show, which starred D-grade celebrities talking about moments in history. Me and Ash may or may not have done it two or three times for the money. Money is awesome. It buys us things we want. There are 180 current currencies across the world, as recognised by the United Nations. The British pound is the world's oldest currency that is still in use, dating back to the 8th century. That was the same century as the Siege of Constantinople. The Bulgarians and the Byzantines decisively defeated the invading Arabs, thus holding the Arab advance towards Europe. There are plenty of ways to see Europe, and if you're 18 to 35, the most famous way is on a Kentucky cruise. Right. They say to the thousands of marriages around the world started from Kentucky hookups, Mitchell, and probably just as many breakups. Wedding songs? Ed Sheeran, Bruno Mars, and John Legend are among the favourite musical artists being used as wedding songs right now, but pretty much any song that preaches love and happiness will do. My Happiness was a cracking song released by Brisbane favourite Sons Powderfinger. Yes. Vernon and JC and the boys released it in 2000. It won Song of the Year in 2001 and sounds a little something like this.
Hey, it's Lutzy's Tedious Link.
Ash, Kip, and Lutzy.
It's a story in the paper today about an Australian athlete who was in the 2004 Athens Olympics.
This sucks. Like, this is heartbreaking. Bronwyn Thompson, who was, for those that know athletics, she was a great athlete going back from sort of 2000 onwards. I was actually at the side of the pit. I commentated her in Melbourne when she broke the Australian record. She jumped 7 metres, which was only beaten again recently.
What is she, sorry?
Long jump. She jumped 7 metres to the long jump and was a great athlete. And she went to the Athens Olympic Games and finished fourth. She got fourth.
Behind Russians.
The three Russians that beat her in the four subsequent years after that event all got done for steroids.
They're all drug cheats.
So she could win the gold.
So she was the best. She should be the gold medalist.
That sucks.
From the Athens Olympics. And now they've got to go back and now they've got to take it to the IOC and the IAAF.
She's never
going to
get...
And
she's been robbed of the moment, though. It's never... if they were to give her the gold medal...
Brizzy girl, physio here in Brizzy, and... Well, they do. They have a ceremony, but it's obviously not like standing in the Athens stadium doing it.
Don't you reckon, Lutzy, that if they award retrospective gold medals,
and they do it,
that they should be awarded at the next Olympic Games?
Yeah, well, that's a great idea.
So they actually get to experience, retrospectively.
Right.
You know what? And the Olympic Council can stand up there and
fly them over there.
Back then, we stuffed up.
Yeah.
We had cheats win who got their big moment
in
the spotlight.
You're exactly right.
We've completely stuffed up, and anybody who wins a gold medal or a silver or a bronze gets to have their moment at an actual Olympic
Games. And the IOC are all about protecting the clean athletes.
Yes.
That's what they're all about today. Yes. So what better way to do it than say Bronwyn Thompson, come 2020, wherever it is, Japan, wherever it is, we're flying
in Tokyo.
You.
Yes.
In Tokyo. Yeah. We're flying you there.
Give her the Australian tracksuit.
Whatever it is, however many there's been. There's probably been a couple of these. I mean, you've got the chicks that came fifth and sixth are silver and bronze medalists as well. So they're doing the same thing in their respective countries at the moment.
And I was thinking, not only that, not only did she not get the glory of the moment, but who's that, like Jessica Fox, who got silver?
Yeah.
Like she's going to be on a reality TV show as a celebrity. She misses out on all that because she came fourth. No one remembers her.
Bronwyn Thompson's a gold medalist. Her life is different. She makes more money.
We're making the rules here now. They get to go to the next Olympic Games and get presented a guaranteed place on the backside of that at the next Honor Celebrity Get Me Out of Here.
Sold.
Yeah. And Dancing. Yep. I'm going to throw in Dancing with the Stars. Yep. Yeah, if that's still on.
Lock it in.
Ash, Kip, and Lutzy.